Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
It's Monday, March 11, 2019. So good to be with you. Hope you're having a fruitful Lent so far. And I had a great weekend. Deacon Dom and I were blessed and honored to speak in Indiana at their Holy Family Conference, a Catholic conference taking place at Kokomo High School, which is about an hour from Indianapolis. And it was just a lovely conference. So many great people and listeners to EWTN. And we had fun. We gave our Intimate Graces talk based on our book, Intimate Graces, How Practicing the Corporal and Spiritual Works of Mercy Bring Out the Best in Marriage, which actually was in the gospel for today. Just saying. And then I also gave two other talks on two of my books, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic, and God's Bucket List, which is all about finding true happiness in this life and beyond. So it was a beautiful conference. I think they had about 250 people there and met so many wonderful families. Again, a lot of people so grateful for the work that you support at EWTN. Now, speaking of which I received a tearjerker email this morning. And these just really get to me. I mean, they're so appreciated by all of us. And this was written to me, but I say it goes to all of you who support EWTN and who help out your local radio stations and anyone who listens, and also all the great people behind the scenes and on the camera and on the microphone here at EWTN. So it's from this nice gentleman in Washington State whose name is Joseph. Great name, by the way. Of course, being that we're going to be honoring St. Joseph this month. And for Lent, Joe decided that he's selecting 40 people that have been important in his life. And he says he's sending one message each day of Lent, and he said, today is my day. He said, of course, today's message is unusual in that we have not met and you do not know of my existence. It's so sweet. And he is in, as I said, Washington State, Holy Spirit Parish. And he says, during the day, I am an attorney for the government, but my job is, my favorite job is as a co-life coordinator at our parish, pro-life coordinator. Excuse me, still have that cold. Pro-life coordinator at his parish. He says, I also help with RCIA on occasion and hope to start discernment for the diaconate this spring. He says he wakes up to EWTN every single morning. And he says he's always been curious about his faith. But he says, as you know, growing up in the notorious 70s, catechesis was in flux. The discovery of EWTN, including your show, changed his life. And he says he's also learned so much from folks like Dr. Scott Hahn and Peter Kraft and many others. So he says, thank you to me and to EWTN. And I say that means a big thank you to all of you out there listening who support EWTN and your local Catholic radio station. You are changing lives, including the lives of this beautiful listener in Washington State, Joe, who emailed me just this morning. So I thought that was really neat. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to be checking in with our friends from Alliance for Defending Freedom. They're going to be giving us an update on some religious freedom issues. But before that, we're going to have a great conversation with Father Robert Mateague, and he's written this really cool piece. It's satirical, but it's very good. And the reason it is because it takes a look at somehow how we've gotten so watered down in so many ways in our faith. And I really believe it's important because it's a good self-reflection to think, gosh, maybe I've done some of this, or, you know, maybe I feel like doing this during that Lent. The title of the article is Three Easy Steps to the Worst Lent Ever. It's funny, but it's very true in some ways. So Father Robert Mateague joining us, and he'll take your questions as well. And we'll give you that phone number right after the break. And again, I apologize. I'm still dealing with this cough. I feel a lot better since I came home from the Holy Land, but these coughs tend to hang around a little bit when I get sick. Anyway, let's get to the news and see what's happening in and around our day on a Monday. Well, more than 150 people are dead, including 8 Americans, after an Ethiopian Airlines flight crashed en route to the Kenyan capital of Nairobi. The CEO of Ethiopian Airlines saying the pilot did send out a distress call and had clearance to return to the airport.
From the air traffic controller's record, the pilot mentioned that he had difficulty and he wants to return.
The plane, a Boeing 737 MAX 8, went down yesterday morning with 149 passengers and 8 crew members. No survivors. The crash took place around 40 miles outside of the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. The Boeing was the same type of plane that crashed off the coast of Indonesia last October, killing 189 passengers and crew. This would-be passenger was shaken up after hearing the news. He says he should have actually been on board.
Because of the delay from Dubai, so I missed the first flight. So when I reached here, and when I reached Addis Ababa, they told me to take the second flight.
Among the dead, again, 8 Americans and at least 19 UN-affiliated employees, the National Transportation Safety Board also announcing it will send a team to help with the investigation. China is actually grounding all Boeing 737 MAX airplanes after that deadly crash in Ethiopia. Chinese Airlines operates dozens of the latest models of the Boeing 737. This reporter, Tom Costello, says the high-tech new aircraft is very popular.
It's selling like hotcakes around the world, and in fact, there are 350 already in service. Some big U.S. airlines are flying them, including American and Southwest and United.
In other news this morning, the Kentucky high school student at the center of that controversial viral video involving a Native American leader plans to sue CNN now for $250 million. Last night, attorney Ellen Wood telling Fox News that Salmon will sue CNN for vicious and direct attacks following January's face-to-face encounter on the National Mall. He claimed direct attacks by CNN against the Covington Catholic student were probably more vicious than those of the Washington Post, which also was being sued for $250
million. And CNN goes into millions of individuals' homes. It's broadcast into their homes. They really went after Nicholas with the idea that he was part of a mob that was attacking the black Hebrew Israelites, yelling racist slurs at the black Hebrew Israelites. Totally false. Saying things like that Nicholas was part of a group that was threatening the black Hebrew Israelites, that they thought it was going to be a lynching. Now, you've seen the tape. If you took the time to look at the full context of what happened that day, Nicholas Salmon did absolutely nothing wrong.
The attorney is saying he'll file that lawsuit by tomorrow at the latest. The Pope urging Catholics to pray the Lord may help us discover his plan for our lives, a plan of love, and grant us the courage to walk in the path he has chosen for each of us. He made the call in his message for this year's World Day of Prayer for Vocations that will be observed on the fourth Sunday of Easter, Good Shepherd Sunday, May 12th. The Vatican on Saturday releasing the message that it has its theme, the courage to take a risk for God's promise. Rather than an intrusion in our freedom, a cage, or a burden, the Pope said the Lord's call is a loving initiative whereby God encounters us and invites us to be part of a great undertaking. He opens before our eyes a horizon of a great sea and an abundant catch. However, he also says embracing the Lord's promise demands the courage to risk making a decision of putting ourselves on the line and facing a great challenge. He says leaving behind the security of our little boat that prevents us from making a definitive choice, he said we are called to be bold and decisive in seeking God's plan for our lives, trusting in the Lord's promise. A K-8 Catholic school in Kansas, as Catholic News Agency reports, defending its decision to deny admission to a kindergarten student who is the child of a same-sex couple, citing archdiocesan admission policies. Father Craig Maxim sent a letter dated February 27th to the families of St. Anne Catholic School in Prairie Hills, a suburb of Kansas City. The church's pastor writing that when the question of whether to allow the child to enroll first arose, he sought the guidance of the Archdiocese of Kansas City in Kansas. He wrote the diocese has the ability to form policy on these matters, while individual diocesan schools do not. He said the Archdiocese advised against admission. A petition dated March 1st asked the school to prayerfully reconsider its decision. The petition reportedly garnering over 1,000 signatures and was sent to Archbishop Joseph Naumann and the school superintendent. In a media statement, the Kansas City Archdiocese explaining its admission policy, which all Catholic schools affiliated with the Archdiocese are bound to follow. The statement affirming the church's teaching, both that individuals with same-sex attraction should be treated with dignity, as well as the church's understanding of marriage as a union of one man and one woman. Marriage, the Archdiocese said, is considered the building block of the family, of society, and the heart of the church. The church's teaching on marriage is clear and not altered by the laws of civil society. The statement reads, in reference to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision back in 2015 that legalized so-called same-sex marriage. The U.S. Ambassador for Religious Freedom calling on China to end religious persecution while visiting Hong Kong on Friday. Sam Brownback asking China to end its war with faith and respect the fundamental and sacred right of people to worship. He called it a war the government won't win, saying the Chinese Communist Party must hear the cries of its own people for religious freedom. In other news, Representative Liz Cheney is defending her vote against the anti-hate resolution passed by the House last week.
But I decided to vote against it because I think it was really clearly an effort to actually protect Ilhan Omar, to cover up her bigotry and anti-Semitism by refusing to name her.
On Meet the Press, a Wyoming Republican saying although she did not disagree with the language of that resolution, it was merely an effort to protect Minnesota Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar against accusations of anti-Semitism. And the group of items that once belonged to German businessman Oskar Schindler are selling for nearly double than anticipated. Schindler saved the lives of more than 1,200 Jews he employed at his factory during the Holocaust. The lot auctioning off on Thursday by the Boston-based RR Auction was expected to go for around $25,000. Instead, it sold for nearly $50,000. Among the items, a wristwatch, a compass, a business card, and two fountain pens. 12 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a great Lent. We'll tell you how to have a better one, hopefully, when we chat with Father Matej coming up next. 877-573-7825. It's a Monday morning. You're listening to Catholic Connection on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
I love listening to Catholic radio. It's perfect. It provides peace and it builds us up and strengthens us. We listen to it whenever we're in the car. My husband and I love it. He got me started with it before he even became a Catholic. He owns his own business and so he's working by himself and he listens to Catholic radio and he's called in several times too. It's using the technology that we have for good.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
It's practically an epidemic. 20% of Americans suffer from anxiety disorders, and millions more wrestle with worry and stress on a daily basis. For us as Christians, all that worry gets mixed up with a lot of guilt. How can we stop worrying and start living an anxiety-free life? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you'll learn how to respect how God made us and build new habits of thinking, communicating, and acting that will help set you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Really appreciate the great work of Father Robert Matej. He is a writer, he's a speaker, and he has a book coming out with Ignatius Press fairly soon. Can't wait to see that and share that with you as well. You also know him from his great program on Stations of the Cross. I've been a guest many times at Catholic Current. And Father, I got a kick out of this latest column of yours for Alatia because it's so true. Well, that's what satire is. It does poke fun and help us look at truth in different ways. And the title of it, I think, is, as I said to you, is a great headline, being a news person, Three Easy Steps to the Worst Lent Ever. Good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be with you. I'm glad you recognize it was tongue-in-cheek. I think for the first time ever, my editors had to put a warning letter at the bottom saying, this really is a bit of satire.
Where did this idea for Three Easy Steps to the Worst Lent Ever come from? Obviously, you're drawing it from your experience as a shepherd.
Well, yes. Well, you know, I've been a priest almost 22 years, and in the lead-up to Lent, there are always people who are looking to consult about Lent the way someone who doesn't want to pay taxes consults H&R Block. They're always looking for some way to game the system. Well, Father, if it was Ash Wednesday, but you were crossing the international date line and there was nothing on the ship but hot dogs, but it was mostly filler, then could you... And I said, is that what Lent is for? Like we're trying to fill out our 1040 form? We've got to be able to do better than that.
All right, so kind of walk us through the three steps, if you would, before we take some calls and
okay.
some questions.
Well, you know, we talk about, you know, prayer, fasting,
and almsgiving. Right.
And, you know, we treat them as what I call, you know, the three great killjoys of Lent. And we always start off, a lot of people, well-intentioned, and they're going to pray 15 decades of the rosary, and they're going to make the Station of the Cross on their knees, and et cetera, et cetera. And by the weekend, it bottoms out, and you're eating a Big Mac on Friday because you need it. And so you invert prayer into just navel-gazing. You know, I'm going to have some me time and celebrate me in all of my meanness. And isn't it wonderful that God has someone as lovely as me on the payroll? And then fasting, we turn into dieting. And they say, hey, you know, I want to get my beach body by Easter, so I guess I'm going to diet. And then I say, wouldn't it be nice if Starbucks had some, you know, smoothie dyed purple with a catchy metro-style nickname? And then almsgiving, I say, you know, alms is supposed to be what you give over and above your tithe. But how many Catholics actually tithe? So, you know, we talk about almsgiving as self-investment. And so what in the satire, Lent is more about fascination with self rather than forgetting self and seeking to imitate Christ in his sacrificial loving.
So where does this come from? Are we getting this from the world? Are we getting this from some of the watering down of the faith, a combination of both? What do you think?
Well, the short answer is yes. I mean, it really is both. You know, a part of it is the world always wants to blunt the sharp edges of authentic Catholicism. And this goes back to, you know, our Lord, you know, fasting in the desert and being confronted by Satan saying, look, you don't want this cross thing. You want my kingdoms. You know, you want some razzle-dazzle miracles. You want to obligate God to work on your behalf. And this is what concerns me about the manipulation of Lent, that it's not faith anymore, it's magic, and it's not hope, but it's superstition and presumption. You know, one of the ways that Catholic giving, for example, is hijacked is some idiot pastor says, you can't outgive God in generosity, you can't outdo God in generosity, and the implication is, look, if you give a bunch of money in the basket, you're going to oblige God to give an even bigger return in yours. And that's monstrous. And I think part of the problem, too, is for the past 50, 60 years, the ascetical practices of the church have been watered down to almost non-existence. And they're very rarely preached because what a reasonable man might infer that even the limited ascetical practices of the church as we have now are not often going to be preached by men who don't live them.
Mm. We're talking with Father Matteig and his latest column, Three Easy Steps to the Worst Lent Ever. If you have a question, 877-573-7825. Just want to share how your Lent is going, maybe what you're doing, maybe you're adding something, maybe some more prayer. 877-573-7825. Now, we can't outgive God. Nobody's denying that. You're not denying that, but that's not why we do it. And when we see that, it's not... People think, as you said, oh, if I give money, I'm going to get, you know, double or triple back. But what happens is when you make that sacrifice and when you truly say, and I just talked about someone, I gave my testimony on Saturday, here I am, Lord, I have come to do your will. And when you make that leap, and it took me years, I'm 100% Italian and half Calabrese, so I'm very hard-headed.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So it took me years. And when I finally said, okay, I get it. My life is to serve you and to fulfill your will, not for my glory, go figure, who knew, but your glory. When I said that, that's when God worked on my life and was able to turn things around, and then he gave me a different life than I ever expected. But it is a true sacrifice of self, understanding who God is and who we are not.
Yes, and we have to add to that. If we're going to let go of our false self, and because we only know who we really are in the presence of God, then we have to go to confession. And As a priest, I implore all of your listeners, especially during Lent, go to confession, make a good confession. And in my satirical article, I say, you know, treat confession as just going to the court to get your record expunged, and don't think of it as an obligation to change your life. And there are people who go to confession kind of half-heartedly, say, oh, I don't know, I guess I'm not really much of a sinner. I guess I just want grace. I said, that's not what conversion is about. Conversion has to be, look, I know things have to change, and I know I can't do it on my own, and I know I'm clinging to idols that I've put on the throne of my heart, and I've got to get rid of all of them. That's the kind of confession that's really going to set you free. So I implore all of your listeners, go to confession regularly, and certainly do it profoundly during Lent.
877-573-7825, chatting with Father Matteig. And what else can we do during Lent to make it count? I mean, obviously there's nothing wrong with saying you want to do more, but we need to be realistic. We also can't be too easy on ourselves. Somehow, Father, we have to find a balance with that.
Well, you know, when people say, well, gosh, Father, I don't want to, you know, I go to confession, but I don't know what to say. So ask your wife.
Or your husband, right?
Or your husband, you know.
Right.
Ask the people you live with. Hey, what do you think would you like to see different about me?
That's a great point. That is a great point.
Do it that way. Lent is a time to find out if anything other than God has power over you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a little honest self-examination, and doing that in either with your spiritual director or with a loved one, that's a great place to start. You know, and just focus. And part of the temptation of Lent is to have something so grandiose that it's impossible. And then we say, well, at least I tried. Focus on one thing that's measurable. You know, what's that one weed in your garden that you know for sure has got to go? And then with God's grace, go after that.
Yeah, or we see it's kind of like right when we start out the new year, we're going to lose 40 pounds, we're going to get organized, we're going to do all this kind of thing, and by, you know, the first week of February, it's all, you know, downhill from there.
Right, it all bottoms out. That's why we have to consult with God beforehand. And, you know, back in the day, there was a season before Lent that was meant to get you ready for Lent. And top men decided we didn't need that anymore, so Ash Wednesday drops on us like a ton of bricks, and we're unprepared. So that's why, you know, we've got to look at the liturgical calendar and look ahead and say, oh, Lent is coming. I need to have a fearless moral inventory and then act accordingly.
And I think the gospel for yesterday that we had on Sunday, for the first Sunday in Lent, or is it the second Sunday in Lent? I'm trying to remember. No, it's the first Sunday, right?
Right.
Yeah. I think it's a really good reminder for us, because when you read that, you think, and I kind of thought about this and heard a great homily on this yesterday. When we read Jesus being tempted by the devil, it also is some ways it's kind of comical, because here's the devil tempting God, the creator of everything, and saying, I can give you all these kingdoms. And at one point, why didn't Jesus just look at him and say, excuse me, I'm God, this is like no big deal. But he did that to give us an example, correct?
Well, absolutely. You know, when I preached yesterday, I said Jesus went out into the desert as one king confronting another and putting him on notice. You know, time is up. And everything that's always worked in the past isn't going to work with me. And then we don't have to be afraid anymore. You know, as long as we have a holy fear of God and we're in a state of grace, then we always have what we need for salvation. And we don't have to cower, and we don't, and we have everything we need to not be seduced by the world. And that's part of the moral of the story from the gospel we heard yesterday at Mass.
Why do we put God in such a box, in such a limiting box?
It's safe. What we want to do is we want to have God as the fire extinguisher or our insurance agents or our complaint department. But the Spirit of God that blows where it will, that comes upon us as a holy fire, that makes demands upon us that we can't understand, it's really hard to keep something like that on a leash. So we want to cut God down to size.
Yeah, but when you put God in the box, you limit what he has in store for you.
Well, yeah, no, it's insanity. Of course it is. You know, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, in one of her poems, said, I, too, have a terrible power, a power to look upon him and be unmoved, even to refuse him. And we all have the terrible power. And, you know, there's a safe way of being a Christian, and there's the way that leads to death on a cross. And we're all called in some way to take up our cross and follow him. And Lent is a vivid reminder to take that seriously. Look, if we only play at being sinners, then we're only going to play at being saved. And I'm at a point in my life where I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah, done with that. Father, we're going to take a break. We also have some calls coming in. Maura, who calls in on a regular basis with some great insights. She's one of our active listeners from just outside Milwaukee. Maura, if you could hold on, we're going to take a quick break. Excuse me. We're having a great conversation about Lent and a really cool article just written and posted by our friend Father Matteig. And you can hear him on Catholic Current. And also tell us how to find him online in terms of his articles and his book that's coming out soon from Ignatius Press. Our phone number, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. Talking about Lent. 'Tis the season. We'll be right back.
A recent guest on the Patrick Coffin Show is Dr. Paul Vitz, a former atheist turned Catholic psychologist. His book, Faith of the Fatherless, studies about the top 20 or so of the most influential atheists. Dr. Vitz found something fascinating. All the atheists, like Albert Camus, Sigmund Freud, Christopher Hitchens, Bertrand Russell, they all had one thing in common: absent or abusive fathers. Not that every instance of atheism can be explained away by this single factor, but the evidence for an associative relationship is overwhelming. The Christian faith teaches that God is Father, and if your experience of an earthly father is painful or badly short-circuited, it makes psychological sense that the concept of the one will taint a belief in the other. Find out more at patrickcoffin.media, episode 72. I'm Patrick Coffin. Be a saint. What else is there?
What does the Holy Spirit do for the Church? The Catholic Catechism tells us that behind every vital and saving action in each part of the body, the Church, is the Holy Spirit. There are numerous venues through which the Holy Spirit works to build up the body in charity. Through baptism, through the sacraments, through the grace of the apostles, through the virtues, through charisms. Charisms are special graces from the Holy Spirit which directly or indirectly benefit the Church. The Catechism describes a charism as a wonderfully rich grace for the apostolic vitality and holiness of the entire body, provided they are genuine gifts and are used in response to authentic promptings of the Holy Spirit in keeping with charity, the true measure of all charisms. This is Peggy Stanton. And this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Really appreciate the writing and the insight of Father Matteig. We've become new friends the last couple of months. I've been on his show. He's been on my show. Very, very good at what he does. And he is a solid priest out there on the front lines. 877-573-7825. Maura, thank you for holding. What's your comment for Father this morning?
Wow, what a fabulous show and these comments that you have, Father, and Teresa. It's just rocking my world today. But I wanted to say that you know, when the angels split and the bad angel said, no, I will not serve, and that it seems like at the crux of a lot of spiritual malady is, you know, the having a battle of wills and ego with God. And, of course, God is God and you are not. And so for giving up for Lent, it's nice to give up chocolate and other things, but to do something that's meaningful in terms of shaping your faith and your journey with giving up something where you know where your resistance will not go, will not give something to God. And the big surprise for me was that the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous are all about ego deflation.
Mm.
So going into that realm of ego and pride, and yet doing little things like like if you do something nice every day and don't get caught at it, you know, you get out of yourself, and that's just a little way to go forward with this kind of thing. But I just wanted to know your thoughts on that whole thing about, no, I will not serve, Lord.
Hmm.
Well, thank you. It's a great question. You know, I'm a big fan of the 12 steps myself, and, you know, Bill W., who is the founder of AA, had a Jesuit spiritual director, and you can find that amazing story in a book called The Soul of Sponsorship. There's a lot of Jesuit spirituality in the 12 steps. And the 12 steps is a plan of conversion, it, moving from yelling, "My will be done," to looking to God, Thy will be done. And we say, "Thy will be done," not because God's the cosmic bully, but because He wants the best for us. And what's the best for us is Himself. And so Lent is an intensified program for saying, look, let's let go of the lesser good for the sake of the greater good, the greatest good. You know, so we want to be free from the lesser things, to be free for the greatest thing, the only thing that will truly satisfy. And if we put it that way, then we're a lot less likely to try to game the system, which is what my satirical article is about, people who try to game the system.
Yeah, yeah, so true. And I've also heard, Father, the word ego. I love using acronyms.
Right.
Ego is an acronym for easing God out.
Very good. Very good. You know, again, the tension is between my will be done and thy will be done, and who's going to be God and who's not going to be God. And the fall of Satan was about envy and pride and wanting someone other than God to be God. And the world, the flesh, and the devil have all sorts of distractions and addictions and toys to take our eyes off who should really be on the throne of our heart. And Lent is that bucket of water and that shot of espresso that's meant to wake us up to reality.
I love espresso.
There we go.
877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. So how is your Lent going? We don't want it to be your worst Lent. We want it to be your best Lent ever. And Father has a satirical article that's out there right now talking about how to make it your worst Lent ever. Looking at the reality of the situation, unfortunately, in our world and oftentimes in the church, of how we're always trying to hang on to that ego or easing God out. Father, I always get a kick out of the bumper magnet, "God is my co-pilot." It's like, really? I mean, I used to live my life like that, so I totally relate to it. Okay, Lord, when I need you, I'm going to put my coins in the box, go to Mass, do what I need to do. But think about that. God is my co-pilot. So you're in the driver's seat, you're flying the plane, and you're going to consult God once in a while. The creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, talk about an ego.
Well, sure. Look, it's a difference between working for God and doing God's work. Working for God is, hey, God, I've decided to do this, and I'm going to oblige you to bless it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to badmouth you if you don't. But doing God's work is, Lord, what would you have me do? It's closer to the fiat of our Blessed Mother on the Annunciation. You know, God takes the initiative. God calls. God gives the gifts. And when you receive the call, then you receive the anointing for the call. And you know, we go through life like we're spiritual orphans, that we're unloved and unprovided for. And Satan says, look, I understand you, and you're alone in this world, and you and I can cut a deal. And that's an absolute lie. As Christians, we're adopted sons and daughters. We're heirs to a kingdom. Everything we need is provided for us.
Right.
And we need to wake up and find the wonderful truth, the horrible truth that we're sinners and we're egotists, and the wonderful truth that God still offers himself to us.
You know, Father, we make it so hard. It's not rocket science.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, the bottom line is submission.
Yes. Yeah, it's submission. It's surrender. It's walking in the bloody footprints of our Savior to Calvary, to the darkness of the tomb, and to the glory and light of the resurrection. And if we don't die and rise with Christ for the light of the world, in the end there will be no life in us.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. And think about when you do go through suffering, if you approach it correctly. Now, nobody wants to suffer, and I don't think too many of us are out there like the Teresa of Avila saying, give me the suffering and the pain, which she used to do, as you know.
Right.
Of course, that's why she's a doctor of the church. But if we can go through suffering and ask the Lord while we're going through it, this is what I learned after, you know, in my tug of war with God, saying, okay, I know there's a lesson in here somehow. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for
right.
those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose.
Right. We need to say, you know, where's the lesson? where's the possibility of identifying with Christ crucified? We don't have to like all the things that we endure. And we also don't have to imagine that God is some novelist, you know, throwing monkey wrenches in our lives for the sake of making the story interesting. But the opportunity to do the right thing is always available. And you know what else? When things are lousy, rather than self-pity, we can say, all right, how can I here and now prove to God that I'm grateful for all the blessings that I've received? Because there's always a reason to be grateful, and there's always a way to prove it. If you stick with that, you're going to be safe. You're going to be fine.
But also, that shows your trust in God. God needs an open and trusting heart. And if you show that to him, and look, I'm speaking from experience because I was among the most stubborn. I didn't all of a sudden want to wake up and say, oh, I'm going to leave the secular media. I'm so great and blah, blah. No, I struggled. I said, I don't want to leave. I like the money. I like the fame. I don't want to go. I can do both. I could be a Christian. I could be in the secular media. And it took me, Father, probably four years before I finally said, Uncle, and you are God, and I am not. And once I said that truly and let it go, that's when things started to turn around. Go figure.
Who knew? And it's not like we didn't have good examples of that. You know,
right.
It's important that we meditate also on the agony of the garden. You know, the humanity of our Lord came to the fore. He knew what was coming, and he knew how awful it was going to be, and it was beyond our comprehension how awful it would be. And still he said, all right, Father, if this is what you want, I'm going to go through with it, and then you're going to provide the grace. And the resurrection is the vindication of our Lord's obedience. And that's what we're called to live. It's an obedience that leads us to freedom and to glory.
Amen. Amen. Beautifully said, Father. Where do we find you?
Aleteia.org, Aleteia.org. Every Wednesday morning I have a column. I have a book on preaching called I Have Someone to Tell You, A Jesuit Herald of the Gospel, available on Amazon. Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern, the Station of the Cross.com and the iCatholic Radio app. Our program is called The Catholic Current.
Thanks, Father. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be right back.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to wreck?
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
In his book, Grace and Truth, Father George Rutler explains 20 Catholic teachings that are essential to living an authentic Christian life. Why should you avoid mediocrity? How can you effectively witness Christ? And how do you keep your focus trained on God? Grace and Truth, 20 Steps to Embracing Virtue and Saving Civilization by Father George Rutler from EWTN Publishing. Now available at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. We keep you connected to what's happening in the church and the world, and we need the entire body of Christ as well as the Catholic Church. And this morning, we are going to be talking a little bit more about religious freedom, which came up in the news this morning with Sam Brownback being over in China and talking about it there. And we also had the story just recently of that young man in Utah, that grade school student who was discriminated against by his teacher and told to take his Ash Wednesday cross off his forehead. And it's just all kinds of things that are happening, and we need to be up on those and continue to pray and support great organizations such as Alliance Defending Freedom. On the phone, Senior Counsel and VP of the Center for Life, and that's Kevin Terrio. Kevin, it seems like it's never ending, and unfortunately, you guys aren't going to be out of a job anytime soon. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Teresa. I think you're right, unfortunately.
All right. So the latest case that we're talking about this morning specifically is Cedar Park in Washington State. So tell us about it.
Well, Cedar Park is a church that teaches that life begins at conception and shouldn't end till natural death, much like the Catholic Church. And,
mm-hmm.
And they believe that they shouldn't have abortion in their health care plan for their employees. They have about 180 employees in their school and various ministries throughout the community, many of which emphasize pro-life. But the state of Washington is now forcing churches and other organizations to include abortion in their health care plans. And, of course, no church should be forced to fund abortions, but that's what this law does.
So how is it going in terms of what will happen with this case? Any idea?
Well, it's always some guesswork.
A guessing game, right.
Yeah, it depends on what the judge says. And we're in Washington State. There's some good judges there in Washington State, but we're also in the Ninth Circuit. And, of course, Ninth Circuit has a reputation of being very liberal. There are some good judges in the Ninth Circuit. So you just don't know. We do have some really solid claims, federal claims, that say that churches should be free to operate according to their faith without being threatened by the government. And this law actually threatens jail time if they don't include this in their health care plan for their employees.
Well, how can this be, as you say in your press relief, given what happened at the high court, the U.S. Supreme Court, with the Hobby Lobby decision? Does this have any influence or no?
It certainly does. Now, Hobby Lobby is, we won that case. I say we, our friends at Beckett litigated Hobby Lobby. Our case was a companion case to that, out of the Third Circuit. We won those cases based upon a federal statute called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and that only applies to federal actions. And so here we have a state law, the state of Washington, that's trying to force Cedar Park to violate its faith, much like the federal government was trying to force Hobby Lobby to violate its faith. So we can't use that federal statute. That's limited to federal action.
Okay. All right. So do you see this situation improving or not? Are you having more cases similar to Cedar Park or fewer?
More.
Really?
There's no question about that. We have more. And what's happening is the state officials are getting more savvy, if you will, or sneaky, might be the better word, in how they are trying to force religious organizations to violate their convictions. You know, you've got California that's doing something similar there with churches, but they're being, as I said, a little sneaky in the way they're doing it, so that it makes it difficult to sue. They're saying, well, you know, if you wanted to try to get one of these plans, you can. You should go ask the insurance company that doesn't include abortion. But their law prohibits insurance companies from giving it to them. So that makes it a little bit of a two-step process that that states are they're so anti-religious freedom that they've become very, I would say, complex and deliberate in how they're trying to force people to violate theirs.
Kevin, and by the way, if you're just joining us on a Monday morning edition of Catholic Connection, we're chatting with attorney Kevin Terrio from Alliance Defending Freedom. We'll give you their website in just a minute. It seems like it's a form of extreme Chinese water torture, where every time we turn around, there's this another case, whether it be a smaller church like this one in Washington State or a bigger entity, all over the place, these drips of constantly trying to wear us down. Do you get that sense?
I do. And, you know, it varies from state to state. But,
right.
For instance, California has sued the federal government, which under the Trump administration is now trying to create exceptions for having to carry abortifacients in health care, like the Hobby Lobby case. And all the liberal states like California, New York, are suing the Trump administration And we, on behalf of March for Life and Little Sisters of the Poor, have intervened that case and tried to defend the government. But you have some very, very aggressive states that are saying that even when the federal government wants to acknowledge freedom, then they're going to stand up and say, no, you have to participate in abortion because we think that's so important that everybody, nobody should have an exception, even if you're the Catholic Church that's taught against abortion from the very beginning.
Boy, the abortion issue, it's still the sacred cow, is it not?
It really is, and it's a good measure of where people fall on fundamental freedoms lots of times. And if they are pro-abortion, that often means that they're anti-marriage. They don't believe in the biblical definition of marriage. Often means that they believe that speech should be restricted if it's speech they disagree with, and that's really dangerous. I really think that you've got states like Washington forcing churches to violate their beliefs by paying for abortions because, as you said, abortion is this measure on the liberal side. If you're not supporting abortion, then you're not really with us on our view of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is the concern a Christian to do, whether they're a Catholic or a Protestant brother and sister, and specifically, how can we support our brothers and sisters at Cedar Park who are taking a stand for life?
Well, as you alluded to earlier, go to our website, adflegal.org, and you can get all the latest information on the battles going around the country, what's going on in your part of the world. We have cases, like, for instance, many people would remember the Masterpiece Cake Shop.
Oh, yeah.
Jack
mm-hmm.
Phillips.
And, I was just going to mention that.
You probably covered that we won it again by forcing the other side to dismiss their second investigation of him. So, but things are going on like that around the country, and you can go to our website, adflegal.org, find out about them, get educated so you can make sure that you can let your friends and neighbors know what to be looking for when they are being forced to violate their convictions, and then contact us. We can put you in touch with an attorney that can help you. And of course, we always are welcome any support that we can get because we offer our services free of charge.
Well, you do amazing work, and we're glad you're there. And we do hope that someday, and for good reason, that you'll be out of business, that you're not needed anymore.
That's our ultimate goal. Yeah.
Right. Kevin, thanks. God love you. Appreciate all the great work you do. ADF.org for all the information. And God bless this church, the pastor and his wife, for standing up for life. We'll be right back to hear our scripture verse of the week from Gail Buckley. Stay tuned.
The Trump administration rolls back the Health and Human Services contraceptive mandate.
U.S. bishops calling for the total elimination of nuclear weapons.
Pope Francis offers prayers for the victims of the California wildfires.
The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill banning abortions after 20 weeks.
And Pope Francis says the death penalty is contrary to the gospel.
Your link to news headlines Catholics count on at the top of the hour. Weekdays on EWTN Radio.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Missed the name of the guest on today's Catholic Connection or his or her book? Log on to AveMariaRadio.net. Click Archive in the upper right corner. Select and search Catholic Connection and explore from there. You can hear past episodes, delve into bios, read related articles, purchase books, and find links to websites, all by clicking on the show notes from each hour. Browse AveMariaRadio.net and bookmark it today. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Thank you.
Matthew 6:24 is our verse for the week. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This is a beautiful verse, and Gail, it ties in directly with what I was speaking of with our earlier guest, Father Matej, on having a great Lent, where we want to say, okay, God, now mammon could be money, which is the actual literal interpretation of that word in Scripture, but it can also mean something that we're clinging to and trying to serve both God and saying we're going to have it our way. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly right. The word mammon actually is a Syriac word, and it was a name that was given to an idol that was worshipped as the god of riches.
Mm-hmm.
It's not known that the Jews ever formally worshipped this idol, but they used that word to denote wealth, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And the meaning is you cannot serve the true God and all this at the same time be supremely engaged in obtaining the riches of this world, which, as you said, could be other things other than money. And the word hate that is used in this verse, it has the same sense here that it has in many places in Scripture. It means to love less. For example, in I think it's in Luke, Jesus says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren, etc., in his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus doesn't mean that we should hate our mothers and fathers or children in the sense that we think of the word hate, but it means that we should love them less than we love him. And in fact, we should love everyone and everything less than we love him. He should be the center of our lives. So everything we say and we do should be centered on him, and we should live our lives for him. So our Lord is telling us that it's impossible for us to love the world or worldly things and love God at the same time. In other words, mm-hmm. a man of the world cannot be truly a religious person. He gives his heart to the world and he robs God of it. So God requires our whole heart, and he will not share it with the world. When two masters oppose each other, no man can serve both. And Scripture says that we must love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and strength. And so we must give up friendship with the world. Now, I know that's difficult to understand. People say, well, how can I live in the world and not be part of the world? But that's not what it means. It means that we must not get caught up in the ways of the world. As you were saying, we can't value material goods more than we do God. We remember the story of the rich man in the Gospel of Matthew, who told Jesus that, he kept all the commandments, and he asked what more he needed to do, and Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give them to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And we were told that he went away sad because he couldn't give up all his worldly goods. He couldn't walk away from them. And there's also a parable, I think, that in Luke that Jesus tells about the man whose ground produced a rich crop, and the man said, well, what do I do with all this? And so he tore down all his barns and built bigger ones to store up all his good things. And God said, you fool, this night your life will be demanded from you. And who then will get all this that you prepare for yourself? So I think the lesson here is not only should we not store up treasures on earth for ourselves, but what we have, we must always be ready and willing to give it up for Christ, even our lives. I mean, he gave his life for us. And the Scripture says, greater love has no one than this to lay down. It has no love better than this to lay down one's life for one's friends. And what better friends do we have than Christ?
Jesus, yeah. And it's just so timely. And I know you didn't know what Father Matej was going to be talking about.
No.
We were talking about just that we tend to put God in the box, and we think we can say, okay, Lord, here are my plans. Now, if you just mm-hmm. bless them, everything will be okie-dokie, and we'll have a great relationship.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. And we put ourselves ahead of God and think of ourselves. How many of us get up in the morning and the first thing we do is look at Facebook instead of pray?
Right.
Those kind of things, that's putting an idol before God. We don't think of it that way, but it really is.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting anything we put ahead of God is an idol, and the riches of this world and things that we get caught up in. So we just need to think about that, especially during Lent, to put God first.
Yeah, if we need a lesson in humility, I would not only look at Christ, but some of the great saints and the doctors of the church. And there is a really cool story that they just posted on Church Pop that I put on my Facebook page about the four female doctors of the church, St. Teresa, St. Hildegard, St. Therese, and St. Catherine of Siena. And I don't know if you've seen this poem by, or this prayer by St. Teresa of Avila. And I found it when I was over in Avila a few years ago on pilgrimage. And I couldn't read the whole thing because it was so powerful in terms of, wow, talk about putting yourself out there for the Lord.
Yeah.
And part of it, one of the reasons I couldn't read it is because one of the lines was in silence or in speaking. And I was having trouble with my voice back then. And I was like, oh my goodness. And so I finally sat down and read it and forced myself to read it. But it really puts things in perspective. You know how many times St. Teresa of Avila, and you know this, I'm just, you know, just raising the question generally, this amazing mystic and first female doctor of the church. And you know how many times she referred to herself as a worm?
How many?
I don't know. I'm just saying it was tons.
I mean, she did. And she's my confirmation saint. I love her. I just love her. And she does. She puts herself down. And one thing that makes me love her so much is, like, she's a saint and a doctor of the church, as you said. But I remember one point she said she was in adoration and she found herself counting the bricks on the wall. And I thought, oh, it's so great that she did that, you know, because you just lose, you know, you start daydreaming about your grocery list.
She was so real,
stuff, you
know? And she was so funny. Yeah, Lord, if this is the way you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few. I just love her.
I love that. I love that.
Gail, great verse for today. And God always works out everything so well. I always say he's our executive producer. Thanks for all that you do with Catholic Scripture Study and here on Catholic Connection. We'll talk to you next week. Gail Buckley from Catholic Scripture Study International. Tomorrow, you don't want to miss tomorrow, Matt Fratt is going to be joining us about Strive, a beautiful series that's going to be starting up in a few weeks, really dealing with this issue of pornography once again. Talk to you on a Tuesday. Have a great Monday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.